telling us over here, number one, that they pursued them. That's one statement. Number two is they overtook them. Okay, and what were the Jews doing at this moment in time? They were choinim. They were not moving. The Jews were not moving. They were just targets. They were just choinim alayam. They were just resting in camp by the Yam. And who pursued them? So it tells us a very long description of who pursued the Jewish people. Number one, called Sus, every horse. Number two is a Rechev, the Rechev called Sus, Rechev Paro. Now, what does that mean exactly? You know, you just read these words, and you know, what do these words really mean? Every horse, chariot of Paro. What does that mean? I don't know. Ufar Ashav and his horsemen. What does that mean exactly? How are the horsemen different than the horse and the chariot of Paro? V'cheloi, his army. Who were they? Al Pi Ha'achiros, it's the name of a place. Al Nir Pi Ha'achiros. Look, the Al and the Pi are connected. But Pi and Ha'achiros is the name of a place. Why is it called Pi Ha'achiros? And where was it? Lifnei, before Baal, the god, the idol called of Tzifai. Okay, we're so used to this pasuk, we lay in this pasuk, but do we really know what this pasuk means? I have no idea what this pasuk means. So let's first see what it says over here in the Targum Onkelos. Targum Onkelos says, U'uridofu mitzroei, the Egyptians pursued, basrei hoin, after them. Fine, so far straightforward. Va'adbiku yosoin. Now the word va'adbiku is an interesting word, because, you know, when it says va'yasigu, it normally means they overtook, to overtake. What does that mean in English? In English it says, the Egyptians gave chase them, and all the gave chase achareihem vayasigu oisam. How come it doesn't really translate this? The Egyptians gave chase to them vayudifem mitzrayim achareihem vayasigu oisam chen malayam. You know, it totally ignored this.
It says overtook them. Look a line below. The warriors
and all the chariots, chariot horse of Paro, his horsemen and his warriors overtook them. Okay, so what has been overtook? What does that mean exactly in English, overtook? The word over here in the Targum is, v'adbiku. Adbiku means to cleave. They were attached. Dovak, alkeni azov ish es ovivies imoy, vidovak biishtoy. What does that mean? A man overtakes his wife? Is that what it means? A man, he hovers over her, he controls her, he abuses her? What does that mean, a man gets married to him, he overtakes her? That's ridiculous. Doesn't mean that the man overtakes her. It means there's a relationship. Dovak, there's a connection. The word that the Targum uses is not a word that's a violent word to overtake. It's the adbiku yosain. Okay, we have to come back. That Kadwen, Shodon, the Jewish people were encamped al yama, by the yam, called Su Solas. All of his horses, Risiche, the chariots of Paro, Ufaro Shohi, his horsemen, Umashir Yosei, and his army, Alpum, one second over here. Sorry. Alpum. Okay, Alpum Chirosa. By Piha Chirois, Kadam Be'el Tzafayin. Kadam means before this place called El Tzafayin. Okay? So this is what it says over here in the Targum. Now we have to see a little bit more. I'm just very distracted now because someone called me and I have to call him back later. I'm afraid of what he wants from me. All right. So Rashi over in this pasuk, it's shocking that there's no Rashi in this pasuk. Okay, so we have to over here go to the Sefer called Ma'atzori. And the Sefer Ma'atzori on this pasuk test, it says, the adbiku. Okay, going back to the word that I mentioned to you before, the word adbiku. Kolashon hakosu vayadbek oisa bahar gilad. Okay, vayadbek oisa bahar gilad. He overtook him in har gilad. Okay, vayadbek oisa bahar gilad. Behu derech kolashon kevin shamasik hasheni dovak bo. Okay, so exactly, I was on target. That over here he acknowledges the word over here has a connotation of cleaving, of connection. And he's not really explaining what over here the connection is between the Egyptians and Klal Yisrael. He's not really explaining. And then he goes on over here to explain some other things over here which are not relevant for us. Okay, so let's go further. Maybe as we go further, things will become clear. Next, possibly, Yud. Ufaro, Hikriv, Paro came close. Okay, Paro came close. And what happened? What happened when Paro came close? Vayisuv Neishol's name, the name Mitzrayim Nesachareihem, Paro came near. And he lifted up Vayisuv Neishol's name, they lifted up their eyes, Vihinei Mitzrayim Nesachareihem, they were traveling behind them. Vayiru'um, they became very, very afraid. Vayitzaku Neishol Hashem, they cried out to Hashem. Okay, so over here, from the previous pasuk, who's chasing them? Mitzrayim. In the previous pasuk test, we mentioned over here a pursuit, but in this pursuit, the previous parasha, there is no mention of Paro. The only thing that it says in the previous pasuk was that Mitzrayim was chasing them, and they overtook them. Okay, and it says all of the horses, the chariots of Paro, but not Paro. Paro himself is not mentioned back in Pasuk Tes. And his army, his horses, v'chelo al piachiros, it does not make any mention of Paro.
Really, it says in Pasuk Vav, v'yesher shrichboy,
okay. But it doesn't say his rechboy, but it does not, you're right, correct, but it does not say that, but in Pasuk, you're right, but in Pasuk Yud, when it says that they now overtook them, back in Pasuk Vav, it says that Paro made a decision to chase after them. But it omits his name. Paro's name is not mentioned in Pasuk Tes. All it says here is that Paro pursued, he overtook. Who overtook? Not Paro, Egypt. And they overtook them. And it says here, who overtook them? The horses, chariots of Paro. It does not mention Paro alone. And his horsemen, the Sus Rechev Paro. It sounds like, you know, like a special battalion. The battalion of the king. But it does not say that Paro was there. Even though you are correct that back in Pasuk Vav mentioned that Paro went and he himself hitched his own horse. Here in Pasuk Yud, it first mentions for the very first time, at least from what we're learning tonight, now it says Paro bechvoidoi uva'atzmai. Ufaro hikrif. Paro came near. Now when Paro came near, now it says first, Vayisuv Neishol Lesenem, Vinei Mitzrayim Meseachareim, Vayiru Vayitzakov Neishol Hashem. Now, what do you mean? Why are they only afraid now? Why? It says here at the end of Pasuk Yod, Vinei Mitzrayim is Meseachareim. What do you mean? It says already in Pasuk Yod, not only was Mitzrayim traveling, they overtook them. There's something over here that's not correct. There's something over here that's very disturbing. Here it says Mitzrayim was Noseya, was traveling, Acharehem.
Right, okay. Shouldn't it say Noseim, Acharehem?
Noseya, in plural.
Noseim, it means Paro himself was coming after them.
Yeah, but it says here the word again, Mitzrayim. In the previous passage, it says Mitzrayim.
Right. Paro was the personification of Egypt.
Paro, are you saying a very big chiddush? You're saying that there's no difference between Paro is Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim is Paro. That's a
right.
Very, very big chiddush to say. Because the Pasha
says.
Can't
we learn Pasha Peshat like Rashi does in Pasuk Vav? Rashi says, I'm going to go in front of you, right? Boy, me, come with me. I'm like other kings. Ani Akhtim Lefnechem. And Rashi, in fact, even quotes the Pasuk, Shenemar Paro Hikrov. So Rashi is recognizing, A, that Paro encouraged them, that he went in front. It's all in Pasuk Vav of Rashi. And Pasuk Yud that we're looking at is part of the scenario. That's all it is. I mean, there's no mystery. To me, there's no mystery. Paro went with them. He led the army. He went in front. He said, hey, fellas, I'm leading the charge. Don't worry about him. Not like other kings. And Rashi himself, it seems that Pasuk Vav is acknowledging that. And Rashi is tying it in to Pasuk Yud as well. Paro Hikrov, Rashi actually says, I'm quoting from Rashi in Pasuk Vav, the Hikrov Atzmoi, he brought himself close, and he hurried ahead of his troops.
Okay.
He wanted to show, hey fellas, I'm leading the charge.
Okay, that is where the pursuit, here we're discussing their destination, they've reached their destination. Mr. Rappaport, you're saying 100% correct, but let's look now, does these two psukim in isolation. And these two psukim, Paro and his army, have now then reached their destination. They've now come in contact with Klal Yisrael, who left 3 days ago. Klal Yisrael left a long time ago. And they're ready, what, 7 days? How many days? It was 7 days. It's been 7 days. Back in Pasuk Vav, we're going back to what happened at least 3 days ago, maybe 4 days ago. Now they've reached their destination. I just want to point out, look at how things are a little bit strange. Because in Pasuk Tes, it says that the Egyptians have already overtaken Klal Yisrael. It says, Vayirdifu Mishra Machlein, Vayasigu, the word Vayasigu, they cleaved. They already made contact with them. And it says, who and who else? It says, all of the horses, the chariots of Paru and his horsemen, the Chelo, Alpiachnaf. Now, Mr. Rapport, if I only had Pasuk Yud, and I had Pasuk Vav, I would agree with you 1,000%. When it says here, Kol Sus, Rechev, Paro, Ufarasha, Vechelo, it means Paro, Bechavoide, Uvaatzmo. I would agree with you 1,000%. But the problem is, the more you say, the more trouble you make. Pasuk Yud now introduces something which seems to be totally superfluous. This entire Pasuk is superfluous.
No, Paro may have been behind them. They're racing ahead, the whole army and all that. And he says, look, I told you I'd be in front of you, fellas. Oh. And I'm getting up there. Come on, I'm getting up. And he sort of exerts himself.
So you're adding a whole new interpretation.
And he said, I told you I'd be in front of you, fellas. Here I am.
No, he's late. He's late. He's
front.
Late. It says, look, in Pasuk Yud, what does it say? It says, Vayasigu Oysam. Those are powerful words. It says here, the word Vayasigu Targum says, Idbak. They made contact. They made contact. They landed.
Who made the contact?
The Egyptians, Mitzrayim. The word is Mitzrayim.
And where was Paro?
That's the mystery.
So if I only had Pasuk Yud.
Rashi says he was lagging behind, and he says, oh, I told him I'd be in front. I'm going to lead him. I'm not in Pasuk Vav. I got to catch up.
Well, guess what? He's too late. It's too late. They already got there. They already reached the destination.
Right, but he wasn't there in front.
Yes, he was.
If you look at the simple rear, let me say my piece,
and then you'll say what you want to say. If you look at the psukim at face value, it would appear that because we have these two psukim, it would appear that Paro sent out his entire army and told them, as Mr. Rappaport correctly says, I'm coming with you boys, get moving, and I'm going to be in the front. He's a liar. He never was in the front, because Pasuk Yud clearly states that his army already reached the destination before he came. Now, here's the point I want to make. When the whole army of Egypt made contact with the Jewish people and they were surrounded by Piachiros, they weren't scared. Oh, how you doing, guys? How have you been? I haven't seen you in 7 days. Nice to see you coming out. You want to have a picnic with us? He sees the whole Egyptian, they see the whole Egyptian army, and in Pasuk Yud there is no mention that the Jewish people are the slightest fright, bit degree frightened of what's now in front of them. The Jewish people, they went way ahead, the whole Egypt, Vayirdifu Mitzrayim, the Gansa Mitzrayim, Vayasigu Oysam, they made contact, Targum, Idbiku, they connected with them. And where were they? They were in the middle, they were at a dead end. Dead end, there's nowhere to go. And who is there? The best of the best. The Secret Service. Okay, the Marines. They're there. Kol Sus Rechab are the best of the best. And there's no problem. Everything is fine. Everything is fine and good. Now, you know what happens? They get a message that one guy is on a horse and he's also coming. He's in the back. And who is that person that's coming? Paro is coming near. Paro is coming.
Okay, hold on.
Wait, let me finish my piece. Wait. I'll see, Paro, they see one person in the back. He's coming from behind. Now, the whole Egypt is here surrounding Klal Yisrael, and they couldn't care less. And now they see one guy galloping on his horse from far behind, Ufaro Higriff. And they open up their eyes. And now when they see him, what do they see when they see him? Now they're terrified, not of him. Now they suddenly become terrified of the whole army that's surrounding them. They get terrified of the whole Egypt that's right behind them, which made contact with them. This is a mushroom life. In life, you have problems, and people, they're just blind. They have all these things in front of them, all these telltale simonim of problems. They don't care. They're blind. And then one day, they see one little detail. One little detail coming from behind. And then they wake up and they realize, uh-oh, it's not just that one little thing that I see from behind. Everything that's been in front of me all of this time is a chorban for me. It's now going to be a big chorban. The Six-Day War, right? The Yom Kippur War. They were building up troops there for days, for weeks, for months. The Israelis, they couldn't kill us. They saw a massive buildup in Egypt. They saw it all. Did it bother them? They couldn't kill us. There's enough planes and soldiers to do a massive korban. The Israelis thought they wouldn't dare start up with us. And then, when little things started to happen, they got messages from a spy and this. Now they chapped this massive buildup that we've been looking at all of this time. They're going to come kill us. It's serious business. Okay, Mr. Rapport, what were you trying? I said my piece. Now I have to be fair. I'm listening.
Okay. It starts off.
You'll get your chance. Let him say. You first let him say.
And Maya will talk. It starts off, Paro is made aware. According to Rashi, the spies he sent, they come back. He gets on. He says, hey, we got to go after these guys. Hashem pardoned his part, like Hashem said. He puts harnesses his horse. He says, okay, fellas, we're going. And it says he takes 600 chariots, he takes the army, takes the horsemen. Shem on his son, he keeps going. Vayirdof achre, he ran. Notice it says, Vayirdof loshen yochid, one individual in Pasuk Ches. He's on the pursuit. The people of Egypt are more anxious to get to the Jews than he is. They took their property, they're really ticked off. So they're running faster than Paro. Paro is like saying, wait up, I'm going to catch up. And sure enough, in Pasuk Yud, he catches up. According to Rashi, he drew near. He draws so near, even though the Egyptians are already there, maybe they were waiting for him. He's a king. But who knows? So he catches up, Paro. I'm in front of you fellows now. And in fact, the Lashon, if you see the Lashon, it changes. In Pasuk Tes, it says, I eat food, Lashon Rabba. If you look in Pasuk Yud, it's Mitzrayim Nosea, Lashon Yachid. They were solidified with the Egyptians. And the Jews maybe didn't chap in Pasuk Tes. Maybe what you said, Rebbe. They didn't chap in Pasuk Tes. What's going on? Either they didn't look behind them or whatever. The Jews, and suddenly in Pasuk Yud, they're by Yisu, B'nai Yisrael, and them. They're saying, oh my gosh, look who's here. Pyro, oh my gosh, he's leading the troops. The guy we hated, our arch enemy, is leading himself, the troops against us. Oh boy, we're in trouble. So for my chap, it's a very, sequential event. He's running after them. He's by Yudov. I'm going to lead you. They're ahead. They get ahead of him because they're as anxious as the Mitzrayim are to get to the Jews, to defeat them, bring them back, destroy them, whatever their intent was. And Paro is waiting to catch up. And finally, as Rashi says, in persecution, he catches up. Ikriv. And now it's Paro and the Egyptians. And suddenly, notice the Jews didn't, by Yeshua Sanaim, is not by just by Yudifu. Why didn't by Yeshua Ben Yeshua Sanaim before him? Why not in the beginning of Pasuk, or at the end of Pasuk Tes? Why suddenly does Rashi have to say, or the Torah have to say, Paro Ikriv? Why then suddenly by Yeshua, they're looking up? Why? Because they suddenly see Paro, their arch enemy, is there leading the people. The people alone, the dream, okay, maybe they were enough than that. So now you got a solid group, a solid leader, Paro, the arch enemy. They know he's the guy that makes the decisions. Usually you wait for the general to make the decision.
Aaron is right, but let me put it from a different view. I'm looking at, you're describing a visual picture in words. Paro is leading 700 tanks. Paro's in the front. He comes to the first bunch of Jews. The 700 tanks spread out along the length of the Jews, and each one makes contact on his area. Everyone doesn't look at the tanks. They look at the leader, at the front guy. Power stands up, lifts up his sword, you know, like he says, charge. So everyone's looking at Power. They're surrounded by all the Mitzrim, all the Chayalim, all the Parashim, and all the Sosim. But they see Power. He's the one who's leading it, and they have experience with Power. The Jews weren't afraid of the Mitzrim all along because they asked them for the money, whatever. They asked them for water. They asked them to take care of the animals, whatever it was. Power was the symbolism of trouble for them. So they saw Power, they saw Mitzrayim, they say, huh? So that's when they started, you know, they said, okay, here, what's he going to do? They're not asking what are the soldiers going to do. What is Power going to do?
I would agree with Mayor, except for one word in Pasuk Yud. It says, by Yishuv and Yisrael, Sanayim, Behinayim, Mitzrayim, Noisha Achrayim. Unless, Mayor, you're going to interpret the word Mitzrayim to mean Paro.
Unless you're going to interpret it. It doesn't say Noisim. It says Noseya. Mitzrayim.
Mitzrayim. I'm looking at the word Mitzrayim. It doesn't say Behinayim, Paro, Noseya Achrayim. If you're interpreting the word Mitzrayim in Pasuk Yud to be exclusively Paro, Enochanami, you're right. I interpreted it that they suddenly see a solid army, horsemen, this, the chariots, foot soldiers, and Paro, who was part of Mitzrayim, right? He's the leader.
They so say, why does it say Mitzrayim? Why does it say Mitzrayim?
Mitzrayim is
the name of a land. The people are called Mitzrayim. They don't say that. They don't see the people or them. They don't say the soldiers. They see Mitzrayim. They see the flag. They see the stars and stripes. They see the Red Crescent. That's what they see.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, trying to listen very carefully to both of you, it sounds like that I'm saying exactly what you're saying, Mr. Alport. And it sounds like Mayer is just saying is that you can't, it's just a picture and we're describing, there's no order, there's no sequence here.
Right.
We're just describing at the same time.
Yeah.
When you describe something, you make a paragraph, you don't have a choice. You have to have the sentences have to be in sequence. But what is happening bivas achas. So Mayor, if I'm not mistaken, it seems to be saying is don't make any diuk in order. There's no order here. We're just painting a picture. We're describing in words a picture. And when you describe in words a picture, you have no choice but to have the psukim in order. And don't make a mistake and think that every single pasuk in the Torah is to be understood in order in time, in sequence. That's not true. The psukim, you have 20 psukim, and it's not a matter of that this happens after this and this happens after this. It's just giving you a description of what happened in one moment in time. So is that what you're saying, Mayor?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what you're saying. And Mr. Rapport, I'm saying exactly the same thing as you. I don't see a difference between what I'm saying what you're saying. We're describing over here, the way you were saying it exactly what I was trying to say. I was mechavet you. We're describing over here a story, and Paro is in the back, and he's trying to catch up to his men that are very excited, and they're in a rush, and they run ahead of him, and now he comes, and he finally catches up to them. The only thing that I don't know if you're pointing is that when the Egyptians finally, the ones that ran ahead did show up, Klal Yisrael weren't afraid. They weren't afraid. They, oh, how you doing? I haven't seen you in 7 days. What's doing over here? And the only time they became terrified was when their leader showed up. Because when the leader shows up, they have to follow orders. And the orders are going to be to kill the Jewish people. If you want to learn not like Meir, if you want to reject Meir and say that these Pasuk Yud and Pasuk 10 are in sequence, and there is a say there, what happened in Pasuk 10 took place 2 hours after what happened in Pasuk Yud. Meir disagrees. Meir holds that what happened in Pasuk Yud and Pasuk 10 happened, Tes and Yud, happened bivasachas. And we're just painting a picture of what happened. But if you want to disagree with that approach, and you want to learn that what happened in Pasuk Yud took place 2 hours after it took place in Pasuk Tes, then it comes out a very big chiddush, tremendous chiddush I never appreciated. And that is, in Pasuk Tes, there is no mention that the Egyptians, the Klal Yisrael, was afraid. They see in front of them the entire army, the world armies in front of them, they couldn't care less. How are you doing? It's only when it comes to Pasuk Yud and the leader is present, and they're terrified of the leader because the leader will give an order and the people will listen to that order and then they're all dead. That's when all of a sudden it says, Vayi re'u me'oid, vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael l'Hashem. But as far as everything else that you said, Mr. Rapport, I think we said exactly the same thing. I was mechamen to what you said. Is that possible?
I agree that they first were afraid when they saw Pharaoh coming, because probably the Egyptian soldiers said, "What do we do now?"
Exactly.
So he's still coming up to join us. What do we do? What is the leader? Because Pharaoh was the one who initiated back all the way in Pesach Vav. He told him, he said, look, we're going after them, we're going after the Jews, right?
See, it's an issue because this is literally the opposite of the First Crusade. In the First Crusade, there are many different reports. You have to be careful what you say because the history is a little bit not so clear. But the impression you get, the more you study the First Crusade, is that the religious leaders behind the First Crusade gave direct orders that these knights and these crazy Meshugayim, these bloodthirsty people, should not attack the Jews. The mission is to go to Jerusalem and go take back their church. The goal was was not authorized and what to do. And these people, they were out of control. They were bloodthirsty Meshugayim that did not follow the orders of their commanders. And the people whom Klal Yisrael were most afraid of were not the religious leaders, because many of the religious leaders, some of them, not all, were willing to help them and to save them. And it was the bloodthirsty barbarians, the soldiers, the warriors, who they were terrified from. And here, if you want to read the pasuk, the way it's presented, the pasuk test, the pasuk yud, it's just the opposite. If you want to disagree with Meir that it's not, that it's sequential, then the ones that they were afraid of were who? Who were they afraid of? They were afraid of power, but they were not afraid of the regular soldiers. They're only afraid of one person. Just completely the opposite. You had this also. I read this also in that journal called Kankan by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is the Bayis Risha, Titus is the Bayis Sheni. In the Bayis Sheni, it seems that the leaders did not want them to torch the Beis HaMikdash. The soldiers were barbarians, and once they came to the Beis HaMikdash on their own, they looted the Beis HaMikdash and they torched it against the command of Titus and the other wicked people there. They wanted to somehow to seize the Beis HaMikdash, make it into a museum, or to preserve it for their own purposes, but it should not be torched. And they tried very hard, according to what it says in that journal, to prevent it from being destroyed. But the people who came were literally out of control, barbarians, and they didn't follow orders. And here you see over here just the opposite. All right, let's see what it says over here in the Targum and in Rashi. So Targum the Apostle here, it says, Paru Karev. Okay, so Paru came close. Paru Karev. Uzikafu v'nei shol yos enichon. And the Jewish people lifted up their eyes. V'ho mitzro'e natlin basrehoin. Now here we have a nice word, natlin. What does it mean over here, natlin? It means nosea. Okay, you make a bracha of al netilas yodayim. It's a very hard word to translate. Nosea means, what is the word nosea? It's not so easy. Here it says natlin. It means they were traveling. How in the English it says advancing, to advance. What does it mean netilas yodayim? To lift up your hands. See here, I like this word. This is a very good word, advancing. Because what do you do when you wash your hands? You make a bracha. You make a bracha for the advancement. I love that this is finally, I have a word here. I have something good to say. Usually I'm very nasty about the English. Chas v'shalom, why do I say anything? But I like this word. It's a great word. When you make the bracha of al netilas yodayim, if you look at the mafarshim, everyone struggles. What exactly does it mean? It means to lift up, to raise. Some say it means to wash. That's a very hard. No one says that really. The word netel means a utensil. It's like a small utensil. Washing your hands with a netel, with a utensil. But some of the commentators explain that it means to lift up your hands. What do you mean lift up your hands? It's a general blessing. The advancement of your ma'aseh yodav. Person uses his hands to create, to form, to fashion, to construct, to mold. when you make the brach of Al Netilas Yodayim, you're thanking Hashem for giving you the ability to fashion, to advance your hands in doing something productive in this world. Netila, and here it says Noseya, which means to travel, and he takes the word Natlin. You're traveling with your hands. Okay, Bashrihon, with the Chilu, they were terrified. L'chadol, l'chada means very, very much. They were deeply, deeply disturbed when this happened. Okay, they were very disturbed. Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael el Hashem, and they uziku b'nei Yisrael kodom. This is classic Targum. You never say Hashem's name alone. You kodom Hashem. Let's see Rashi. A lot of Rashis. Rashi ufaru hikriv hoyle luchta ufaru koraf. Grammar. What do you mean hikriv? Hikriv means he brought himself close. It should have said that naturally he came close. The answer is no. Paro did things that were not expected of him. He went out of his way. Mao hikriv hikriv atzma ben samit likadem lufnem kamosh shehisne lohem. It's exactly what Mr. Rapport said. He made a condition with the people. He made a condition with them that he would advance himself. He would lead. Okay, so it wasn't the derech. Hikriv atzma in this amitz means he exerted himself lekadem to overcome them. Lifnim kemoshe hisnim like he made a condition. Okay, then it says the word noseya achareihem. He was noseya after them. Belev echad ki ish echad. Okay, so the Egyptian. Now this is Meir's question. Meir's question is why did it say the word noseya? B'loshem yochid and not b'loshem rabim, noisei and not noisim. So Rashi answers his question. B'lei ve'echad ki ish echad. Now notice the drush, by Klal Yisrael, by Matan Torah, what does it say? By Yichan Yisrael neged hor. What does Rashi there say? Ki ish echad b'lei ve'echad. So why is it that Rashi there says ki ish echad b'lei ve'echad? And here he says, "Belev echad ki ish echad." Okay, what's the difference? You gotta think about that. What's the difference between these two different concepts? Ki ish echad belev echad. That was by Klal Yisrael, and by Mitzrayim it's belev echad ki ish echad. It would sound like belev is the emotion, and the ish is the intellect. When you're out of control, it's lev, and then it becomes a philosophy. When you're in control, you make a conscious decision that it's ish echad lev echad. It's like over here we have a country now where the goal is everyone should be afraid. Be afraid, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. You're touching upon people's emotion. People's emotion. And then when you go and you chaparai to people's emotion and everyone has the same pachat, then, oh, ki ish echad. Then we have the same ideology, the same philosophy, the same approach to solve a problem. That's not a healthy thing to do. It's not healthy to go and to approach a problem with the leif. You have to approach the problem with the mind. Ki ish echad. And then when the mind is in control, I'm suggesting the word ish, when it's relative, when it's presented near the word leif, it represents the intellectual component of a person versus the emotional element of a person. So Klal Yisrael, they made a rational and intellectual decision that it is the correct thing to serve Hashem. Once that was in the bag, now they can become emotionally involved. But if everyone is emotionally involved, then you're not necessarily doing the correct thing, because the emotion can cloud the intellect. And that's what happens over here. They're all tzitzed. They're all worked up over nothing. And that's why they all came to an end. They were traveling before the Mitzrayim. So this answers again Meir's question, why is Blush Yochid? Rohu Sar Shel Mitzrayim Noisea Min HaShamayim La'azor L'Mitzrayim. Okay, they saw the Sar Shel Mitzrayim, okay, this refers to the Malach, traveling Min HaShamayim to help out the Egyptians. Okay, Vayitzaku, they cried. What does it mean they cried? Tavsu Umonus Avoysam. They took hold of the Emunah of their father. Be'aram u'omer el hamak masha amat sham. Be'yitzok lo suach basodeh. Be'yakov v'yifka b'mokon v'yitzaku is an expression where they all were mispalel to Hashem. Okay, so let's review over the Rashi on the outside. So Parahikriv is with Mekayim, he kept his promise. It's a very interesting thing. A politician to keep a promise. Isn't it amazing? How often do politicians keep a promise? A politician kept his promise. And they say maybe that's the reason why. Maybe that's the reason why they became afraid, Mr. Rappaport. What do they say? The Paro says he's going to kill us, right? So who cares? Paro's a liar. Everything Paro says is a lie. The fact now that Paro all of a sudden embraced the MS, he kept his word, now you got to be scared. Okay, no, say out two interpretations. Loshen Yochid, Belev Echad, Ki Ish Echad. Number two, it's the Sar Shel Mitzrayim was traveling. Yitzaku, it's a one word which captures all three together. It captures Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham was Lamach Masha Omat Shom, Yitzchak is Lasuch Basode, and Yaakov is Vayifka Bamokoim. Okay, it's interesting is that Avraham and Yaakov, we have the word Mokoim, Bamokoim, and by Yitzchak we have a Sode. Avraham is called Omad, Yitzchak is called Sode, and Yaakov is Suach, and Yaakov is called Vayifka. We have over here four different terms for prayer. Avraham, it's called, again, Amida. Yitzchak, it's called Sicha, to speak. And Yaakov, it's called Vayifka, a Pegia, which means, Vayifka, Mokam, it sounds like a complaint, to go on the offensive, it sounds like. And all three of those terms, they all synthesize and merge together into one word, Vayitzaku. Vayitzaku El Hashem. And you have three different types of prayers. Avraham is Oimet, Namida. Yitzchak is a Sicha, to speak. Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basode, to communicate. And Yaakov is Pegia. Pegia is more like a violent, more of a desperation, a desperate plea. And here, I guess, by Klal Yisrael, there were three different types of prayers. There was a prayer that was more, you know, relaxed. Then there's more of a conversation, and there was more of a desperation. All right, we're going to have to stop over here. It's time is up. All right, Rabbi, thank you very much for coming.
Good night, Rabbi.
Have a good night. Ms. Rapport, thank you very much.
Good night, Lisa.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. Zayin Zum to everyone. Okay. Good night. Mayor, Lou, what do you say?
Hold on, let me get you on.
Rabbi Levine, what did you say the pasuk was by Avraham?
Asher El Hamakoim Asher Omad Sham.
Amida. Yeah, Amida.
All right, what's up?
Nothing.
So what?